to the book of Proverbs, to the first chapter. We're going to look at verses 23 through 32 of Proverbs chapter 1. I'll let you get there and then we're going to pray. The title of the message is The High Cost. The High Cost of Saying No. Now, I know there are all kind of promotional campaigns that say, well, just say no. This is one time where you don't want to say no. And the high cost of saying no. Now, let's pray together. Father, I ask you just to hide me behind the cross and that you take this passage and use it for your honor and for your glory. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. The high cost of saying no. Now, I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going, if you're able, we're going to read verses 23 through 32. I'm reading from the New American Standard. Before I read, I want to let you know that the Proverbs are written by Solomon. Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. God gave Solomon the opportunity to receive gifts. And Solomon, instead of asking for riches or for this or for that, said, Lord, give me your wisdom. Don't just give me smarts. Give me your wisdom. And God did. And so this is part of what we call the wisdom literature. Now I'd ask you to stand, if you will, and we'll read this word. Verse 23, turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you, and I will make my words known to you. Because I called, and I want you to notice what it says here, and you refused. I stretched out my hand, and no one paid attention. And you neglected all my counsel, and did not want my reproof. I will also, excuse me, laugh at your calamity. I will mock when dread comes upon you, when dread comes like a storm, and when your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Verse 28. They will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Why? He says in verse 29. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel, and they spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be satiated by their own devices. You may be seated. In this particular passage, Solomon is sharing about the reality of rejecting God's offer to us of His wisdom and His word. I want to repeat that. Solomon is talking about the danger that comes when, and here he's talking to his own people and to all who have read it afterwards. What happens when we reject God's offer to know who He is and what He's done for us as sinful man? Now that raises a question, who is God? And we could spend many weeks looking at that, but an easy way to kind of look at that is He is our Creator. We know that God is the Creator. That's what the Bible teaches. Some think so. Folks will say, well, I don't know that. I don't believe that. Because you rejected God's wisdom here. We know that He's our provider. The Bible says that God will provide all of your needs out of His riches and glory. There are times when we're worried about whether what we're going to be able to do and what we're going to be able to have. And it's not our wants that God said He'll provide. I can personally testify to you. He doesn't give me all my wants, but He has provided for all my needs. In some of dark days when I didn't have an income, or Rose didn't have an income, God always provided. Why? Because we believed. And He said He would, and we held Him to that promise. He is our rescuer. Romans 5:10 speaks of the fact that while we were yet dead in our sin, that He sent His Son Jesus to die for us. Jesus said, if you really want to know what God's like, that might be the second question here. Anybody want to know what God's like? Study the Gospels. Jesus said, He who has seen me has seen the Father. Sometimes we think of God being some big ominous figure up there just waiting to stomp on us or to crush us or to hurt us or to leave us alone. No, Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Jesus came and he loved like no man ever loved and gave like no man ever gave. That's who God is. Still, then why would somebody reject him? Well, unfortunately, they do. What has God done for you? Maybe you're asking that question. Well, I want you to know what God's done for you. God has done for you is that he has offered you the opportunity to accept his word and his wisdom and his way. And if you do, you're going to have fullness in life, not only in this life, but you're going to have happiness in the life to come. We call that in the church salvation. The sad reality is Solomon is writing to people, and listen to what God says about them, and Solomon speaks. He says, I called in verse 24, and you refused. I stretched out my hand, not the hand to smack us with, but the hand to accept us with, the hand, same hand that stretched wide on Calvary's cross, it's that hand that he reached, and he says, and you didn't accept it. And the reason I'm preaching this message today is because God told me to. Not necessarily what I wanted to, but I want you to know that there's some of you sitting here today. There's some of you probably sitting here today who are like those of Solomon's day. God has been reaching out to you. I want you to look again at verse 24 and 25. He's called to you and you've refused. He called to you and said, I want you to accept my love. I want you to know my love. I want you to know the love of my son, Jesus. And you've said, I'm not ready. Or maybe I'm not worthy, or I'm as worthy as anybody else to you. He's called to you, but it says here, you've refused. He said, I've stretched out my hand to you. I've reached out to you to lift you up. But no one, it says, paid attention. What a sad reality Solomon gives us that God, through his work and through his Holy Spirit, is saying to some, here today, it's time to give up your old self-dependence and your sin. It's time to give up your own self-dependence and your sin. And some folks will say, well, what's the big deal about sin? Well, the Bible speaks very highly about that. But I want you to look, first of all, at how God is calling you. And I want you to go to John 16, verse 8. John 16, verse 8. God's calling to you. Some of you are receiving the calling even right now. And yet, you're going to refuse his offer. And there is a high cost. That's what this is all about. There is a high cost in saying no. In John 16, Jesus is describing the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is talking about going to glory. He's going to the cross, and then he's going to be gloriously resurrected, and he's going home. And he speaks of when he leaves that he's not going to leave them alone. In verse 8, in describing the Holy Spirit, it says, and he. And I want you to notice that it's a he. The Holy Spirit is not an it. And it's a capital H here. When he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin because they don't believe in me. Concerning righteousness because I go to the Father. The Holy Spirit is here today. And he's speaking to those that might be here who have been called and who have heard but have refused. Now why? Why would they do so? Well, we're going to look at that. But I want to just share with you so that you say, well, I've never been called. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't believe that the Bible in any way teaches that there's a time when the Holy Spirit hasn't tried to call you more at least one time. Because the Bible says that Jesus doesn't wish that anyone die and go to hell. And some folks will say, well, how could a loving God send somebody to hell? I want you to know a loving God has never sent anybody to hell. You make the choice yourself. Why? Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means that from Dr. Billy Graham and the best of the best of the best to the worst of the worst of the worst, we're all in the same boat. We have all sinned. What is sin? Sin is anything that goes against God and what God would have. Sin is anything that goes against what God would have. What about sin? What's the big deal with sin? Well, Romans 6:23, the Apostle Paul writing says, well, there's a high cost to sin. And the high cost of sin is death. Now everybody goes, well, that ain't no big deal. We're all going to die. Yes, we are, unless we experience the rapture of the church, and that's for another day. But he's not talking here about physical death. We're all going to die. You're going to die one day. I don't care how much you Botox or no tox or whatever, you stretch or lift or, and all you men need to check that out now, I'm telling you. You saw that I was talking about the ladies, didn't you? I'm not crazy. I've seen some of you with that Botox smile. The wages of sin is death. What kind of death? It is eternal separation from God. Eternal separation from God. In a place called hell. And let me tell you what the Bible says about hell. Jesus described it as a place where the fire is never quenched, where you're constantly in torment from the plague. But he also called it a place where the worm doesn't die. In hell, there are people that are being gnawed on by worms. And they're in the plague. In fact, in the story of the rich man and Lazarus, there's a man in hell, and we could go there today, but I won't. And he calls out and he says, please, 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 go tell somebody to tell my brothers about this place so they won't come here. And that's what this message is today. How did that rich man end up in hell? Because just like in Proverbs 1:24-25, he heard the call of God and he said no. He heard saw the reaching hand of God and said no. And so he made his own destination. Well, folks, we're basically in the same boat. We're all sinners. We're all going to pay the penalty for our sin unless we accept the gift of the sin bearer. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God knew that there was nothing that could eradicate sin except His Son dying for your sin. Folks, that's what separates our faith and our religion from every other religion, even from the Jewish religion that we come out of. You see, our God didn't tell us we got to work our way to get there. He said, all you've got to do in order to have a relationship with me to eradicate your sin is to accept the fact that I sent my Son as the sacrifice for you to die for your sin. And He says this. Well, so what do I have to do? Do I have to clean up my act? Do I have to get real good? Do I have to be pretty like the preacher? I'm just making sure you're listening, okay? No. It merely says if you will confess with your mouth. Confess what? Folks, I'm a sinner. I am a sinner, but thank God I am saved by grace. And in the eyes of God, I want to tell you something good. I'm just as good as Dr. Graham is. The only thing that makes me feel bad is I'm just as equal as Brian and Jim Bean Blossom. Boy, that's kind of big. In the eyes of God, we're all equal. That just made them really feel bad. You know what I'm saying? Not because I said I was equal to them, but because they're equal to me. That really got them. It did. I can't even look at them right now. If you'll confess with your mouth. Folks, I'm telling you. God says, because I called and you refused. Because I stretched out my hand and you paid attention, no attention. Because you neglected my counsel, my word to you. And you didn't want my reproof. Listen to what He says. He says, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when dread comes. When dread comes upon you like a storm, and when calamity comes like the whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. Why in the world would a loving God not answer? Ladies and gentlemen, because the Bible says, there comes a time, Genesis 6:23, there comes a time, it says, the Spirit of God chooses a time in His own time. And I don't know when that is. For everybody it's different. There comes a time when God says, okay, I'm not going to ask anymore. It's kind of like my mama. My mama used to give me things. Your mama ever give you things to do? How many of you, I want you to raise your hand. Now, if you have children here, okay? I want you to turn around, parents, and see what they said, because you might need to beat them again, okay? How many of you, every time your mama asked you to do something, you did it? Raise your hand. I was just checking, okay. How many of you, when they asked you the second or third time, did you do it? The second or third time, because, you know, sometimes you never did it, didn't you? I remember so well, it was a cold, like some of these nasty mornings we have, and my brother and sister are at the table, and my mother and daddy had what are known as Kennedy rockers. President Kennedy had a particular rocker, a caneback rocker, that he sat in, which helped his back, and so I slid over into the Kennedy rocker and kind of began to rock and acted like I was asleep. You know, I just knew my mama was going to go, oh, he's so cute, let him stay home today. Well, my mother was a fine Christian woman, but I'm not going to tell you what it said, but it had about getting my I got chair in a hurry. Well, I acted like I didn't hear. Okay? Well, then came what? Punishment. That's all God's saying. God's saying, I'm going to call, and I'm going to call, and I'm going to call. I'm going to reach out, and I'm going to reach out, and I'm going to reach out. No matter where you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how bad you are, no matter how good you are, I'm going to call to you, I'm going to reach to you. Why? Because I love you. But there comes a point when I'm finally going to say, and only God knows when that is, okay, you refused. Now, the sad reality is, they will call upon me, but I will not answer, in verse 28. They will seek me, but they won't find me. Why? Because they hated knowledge. They didn't want what I had to offer. So they shall eat the fruit of their own way. There was a young man who was just coming out of the church, having finished his grandfather's funeral. He climbed in the funeral car with great surprise, only to find his pastor there. The pastor was going to ride along in the funeral car because there was room to the cemetery. And the boy struck up a conversation. He said, you know, Pastor, there was a time when I used to come and hear you preach, and it would come time for the invitation, or you would preach some message about coming to Christ. And he said, you know, Pastor, it was something would just happen inside of me. And he said, when the time came to come forward at the invitation and admit that I wanted Christ, he said, I would hold on to the back of that pew. He said, I would hold on till my knuckles were blue and finally white. He said, I would just hold on. I never would go forward. Pastor said, yeah, I saw that. He said, you know something? No, nowadays, Pastor. Nowadays, Pastor, I come to church and I hear you preach and I see you doing that, and the choir singing all those same songs. And he said, when the invitation comes, I don't feel a thing. Why is that, Pastor? Why is that? And they will call upon me, but I will not answer. And they will seek me, but they won't find me. They will be satisfied with their own way. There's somebody here today. There may be more than one of you here today. God's calling on you. He's calling on you saying, I love you. I want you to come and accept my gift of salvation today. And the devil is whispering in your ear, or maybe your friends beside you, or maybe just you because you're a big boy or you're a pretty proud girl, and you're going, not today, preacher, not today, preacher, not today, preacher. Well, I want to close with a true story of a little girl who was in a revival service, and her boyfriend is sitting with her. And the pastor has just preached his heart out about the need to come to Christ. And the little girl wanted to go, and her boyfriend has her by the hand, and he keeps going, we need to get out of here. Come on. Tell him to hush so we can get on out of here. And all during the invitation, he's talking to her while the preacher is just saying, please come. Please come.
Her parents are in another area and they're just praying. Her mother is weeping that she'll come, but she doesn't come. When the invitation begins, she and the boyfriend slip out the door. They jump in their car, spun gravel, leaving the parking lot. The service ends and the pastor is talking to the people when suddenly a lady from the church comes running in to the mother and she said, "There's been a terrible accident down the road around the curve. I believe it's your daughter and boyfriend's car." True story. The mother and dad go flying out that door like any of you and I would go flying out that door. They get there and the car's overturned. The boyfriend's been thrown out. He's dead. The car is on fire and they can't get her out. They cannot get her out. And the mother, like any mother would do, tries to get as close as she can, and they're holding her back, and she's screaming for her daughter, and she's calling out her name, and she says, "Mama! Mama, get the preacher! Mama, please get that preacher!" And the flames continue. They're trying as hard as they can. They don't have the jaws of life and things they have now. There was no way to put the fire out, and she's crying, "Mama! Mama! Mama, it's too late! Mama, it's too late!" And her mother's screaming at her, "No, child, accept him! Accept him! Mama, it's too late!" And finally, the car, right before the car explodes, true story, she goes, "Mama, I'm in hell." I don't care what age you are. I don't care if your daddy gave the land for this church or for the National Cathedral. I don't care if your name's on every pew and every stained glass window. I just want to ask you one question. Have you answered the call of the Lord at some point in your life? Has the Lord Jesus Christ reached out to you and said, "God, come and accept my love. Come and let me deal with your sin. Come." Listen, folks, Christianity, they got it all wrong. They think it's a whole bunch of set of rules of do's and don'ts, and you don't have any fun. Is there anybody as a Christian that has as much fun as I do? Now, sometimes I ask them both once in a while. I don't need, listen, I've never told you this. I'll just tell you this, and this may help somebody. I tried the drug route. I tried the booze route. I tried all that stuff. When my mother died, I was a senior at Carolina, and my mother ends her journey with ovarian cancer. I was a nominal Christian. Yes, I was saved. And instead of turning to the Lord to deal with my hurt, I turned first of all to booze, because that's what you did as a senior at Carolina. That's what they did there. The state people taught us that. And just kidding on that one, okay? Later, I turned to drugs. You know what I found? It didn't do a thing for me. And it wasn't until the Lord sent a lady who's not here today into my life and helped me, turn me around. And she and her daddy helped reintroduce me to the church, because if you were going to date his daughter, you went to church, brother. In fact, you went to Sunday school. And I discovered the Lord calling me. He wasn't calling me the first time. I'd been saved at 9 years old. You say, "Preacher, you mean if you'd have died, would you have gone to heaven?" I believe so. Yes, I do. But I would have missed so much. And I tell you what, I don't need any of that mess anymore. I don't need it. I get higher on Jesus than Christian people. The only thing I really like doing with Christian people, really more church people than Christian people, is aggravating them. You know why I like aggravating them? Because sometimes we walk around like we've been sucking on lemons. You go to the restaurant today, you're going to see some of them. They love the Lord. They're going to bless out the waitress and the cook, everybody else, because their fried chicken's burnt. I want to ask you this, as God called. Has there been a time in your life when the Lord said, "Come, come"? His arms are wide open. He's just saying, "Come. Come." And what have you said? Maybe you've said a long time ago, "I come. I come just as I am. I come as who I am and what I've done." And you know, God doesn't condemn me. When I tell folks that I had a lady ask me one day, she said, "Preacher, you ever tasted "You ever had liquor?" I said, "Ma'am, I've never had liquor on my lips." She went to throwing up her hands, praise God, "I knew you were a godly man." I walked away and said, "I've had it on my throat and tongue and belly though." Didn't tell her that, okay? It didn't make me any less. You can look at me if you want to. You've never tried it. Well, you tried some stuff I ain't tried. Don't lie to me, okay? God said, "Come." For some of you, maybe he's saying, "Come back." For me, it was, "Come back. Come back and realize that I'm calling you back." But maybe he's calling you for the first time today. Or maybe he's calling you for the last time today. You have no guarantee that when you leave here that somebody won't run the stoplight up there at the flashing light or somewhere else, or some nun on 85 or some place other than that. And I hope you won't end up like that little girl who let her boyfriend influence her and who never heard the word. God's calling today, and as we come in our time of invitation, I want to ask you, will you come? You say, "Preacher, how do you do that?" It's really very simple. You just simply say to the Lord, "Lord Jesus, and I do, I am a sinner. And because of my sin, I know that I'm going to die not only regular earthly death, I'm going to die spiritually. But because you loved me, I accept your sacrifice for my sin." Now, I want to tell you something about that sin you're holding on to, you don't want to get rid of today. It's killing you and it's condemning you to hell. And the Lord Jesus Christ is offering you healing right now. Not healing necessarily in your physical body, but he can do that. But healing in your spiritual body. And all you got to do is confess with your mouth, "Yes, I'm a sinner. And I need the Lord Jesus. Jesus, will you forgive me of my sin and come into my heart?" And if you'll do it, he'll do it. That's all you got to do. But you got to mean it. And maybe you're going to do that right there where you are. Maybe you've done it before today. Jesus said not only does he want you to do that, but he wants you to confess it. The first Christian song I ever sang as a solo, it was, "I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed to tell the world that I'm a Christian." I'm not afraid to tell somebody I'm a Christian. And he doesn't want you to be ashamed. So maybe today is the day that God has chosen for you to come and make it public, because Jesus said, "You know, if you're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of you." I'm not ashamed of him. I don't care where I go. I'm not ashamed of him. I'm not perfect. Am I? I'm just forgiven. Amen. Maybe you're looking for a church home. You've been a Christian and maybe you've been out of a fellowship, or you haven't had a place where you could go and worship and be nurtured and be loved and strengthened, and where they could help you maybe pray for and reach your family or reach others. Well, this is a good place. Maybe that's why God has you here today. We're not better than any other church. We're just okay. All right? Maybe that's why you need to come. Maybe you need to come to this altar like I did, like I had to do as a saved young man, and after I, with a heart just broken and trying to say, "God, how much I miss my mama." And I tried alcohol to make the pain go away. And I tried drugs to make the pain go away. And I found that nothing made the pain go away except the loving arms of a loving God. And when I was at my lowest, he just reached down to me again and threw his arms around me. And he said, "Come home. Come home." And he does that every day, every week. You know, sometimes I mess up. I do. Sometimes you do. But he's always there. But listen, he's calling. He's calling. Don't let it be the last time. You say, "Well, how do I know?" You don't know, so you come today. "Well, preacher, I don't know you." You don't have to know me. You just got to get to know Jesus. Amen? As we stand and sing our invitation, I just want you to know he's calling. Don't call on him later. And he goes, "I can't hear you anymore. I can't hear you anymore."